Hopefully you can all hear me okay. Oh, it's so good to see you. I meant to bring my camera up so I could take a picture of you, but I left it. Wow, it's so good. It is so good to see you, and we're excited to be back here in Wenatchee for a little while. And actually today we're going to head back over to the Seattle area and visit family over there, and then the girls and I head back up towards Shaktulik, and Eric will be joining us soon, so please keep him in your prayers. He's got some stuff to do, and it's like the not fun part of packing. I'm leaving. He gets the not fun part of packing, so I'm sorry, honey. I'm so sorry. I just want to share with you today with a little bit of what it has been like for us in Shaktulik, and I want to thank you. I want to thank you for sending us in prayer and sending us in love. And I know that the peace that I have felt in the past 4 months has been so much because of the prayers that you all have been praying, because it has been a peace beyond understanding, a peace that hasn't made sense to me, that is just that peace that we have from God and the peace that we receive when we lift one another up in prayer. So thank you so much for that. I wanted to share this morning just a little bit of what it's like in Shaktulik for us, what it's been like over the past few months. This is where we're at. This is Shaktulik. So a lot of people ask kind of where it is, and maybe we haven't met you before, or our story is new to you. So Shaktulik is just a little bit south of Nome. We're on the Bering Sea, right there below the Arctic Circle. So it's a little cold. It was a little cold when we got there in the end of January. It was dark when the girls started school, but things change quickly there. And now it's light. It'll be light all day and all night when we get back. So things change quickly. The village that we are in is about, there are about 250 people who live in the village. Most of them are Native and Yupik Eskimo, and we get to learn a lot. This has been an incredible time of learning, and we've learned together. We've learned as a family, and we've learned from the people that we live with, and that's part of what I'll be sharing with you today. A little bit, though, about our family. I think there's a slide with the girls somewhere in there, and there they are. So my girls have been learning to play basketball, and that is awesome. It's something that's been new to them, but basketball is huge up there in the villages, and it's wonderful because in the winter, when there's a lot of snow and not as many outdoor activities, the community gathers. You go to the basketball games. That's where everybody is at. And so the girls, I'm so proud of them. They have jumped in, and 100%, 110% they have given to being there and immersing themselves there. And the community has been gracious to them. Even Peyton and Marley played the first weekend we were there. They were playing basketball. So it's pretty awesome. And I even play a little basketball, which is very scary, and we won't take any pictures of that. But I did score a basket one day at one of the kind of get-together things, and it's like the whole gym erupted. It was so exciting because I actually got a basket in. This other picture is our family. This is Easter. I don't know what it was like here on Easter, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't snowing still. So on Easter, we actually... this was at the Easter egg hunt for the city, which was postponed because it was too windy on Easter Day to do the Easter egg hunt, so we did the Easter egg hunt another day. And some of you might have seen, I have some video of that on one of our updates. So I just really want to encourage you on this card that Andrew was telling you about. We have lots more to share. I'm going to share as much as I can today. But if you're not receiving those updates, keepgoingproject.com/Shaktulik. That will get you to how you can get our updates, or you can just email me, send me your email address, and I'll make sure that that you get on there, and I try to get videos and just give you as much of an idea as I can of what life is like and what ministry is like in Shaktulik. But it really is, it's a time of learning, and one thing I noticed, kids seem to learn faster. Us adults, we get like slow down in our learning factor. And learning about culture is so amazing. I saw somebody a while back, there was something on Facebook, a picture of kind of like when you're learning another culture, what we see about a culture, like language and dress, and those are like kind of the tip of the iceberg, and underneath all the subtle things that we don't always see, that you don't always get to know unless you really choose to learn it and to be a part of it. It's huge. And the girls have done so well on picking things up. So one thing is a lot of times with the kids, if you ask the kids a question, they say yes. And I know you probably can't see me, but I'm raising my eyebrows. So raising your eyebrows is yes without saying yes. So I noticed Peyton was kind of getting in trouble because I'd ask a question and she'd just give me this look. And I'm like, why are you being so disrespectful? You know, I mean, I think she got her phone taken away. But she can see Megan for counseling about that later. But so this happened a few times. And then finally, I was talking about this and she said, Mom, don't you know I'm telling you yes? Oh, okay, I wish she would have told me, but she was being so respectful, actually, when I thought she was being disrespectful. So it's just, it's amazing how much we are learning and how much we have to learn. So we live on this road. I've got a picture of, this is Shaktulik. This is the road we live on. The big building in the middle on the right is the school. There are about 90 kids that go to the school. All the ages are at the school. There were 6 kids that graduated in our senior class this year. And so then just, there's a little shiny rooftop right closer to us from the school. That's the church. And then the parsonage is towards the ocean from that. So I think in the summer, I'm like the luckiest pastor in the world because before church, I just go out and walk on the beach and pray, and it's so beautiful. And in the winter, I put on every layer of clothing I have to walk the 20 feet to church. So it's just, it's different. But we live on this road, and it's so beautiful, this road of all these houses with people and families and stories. And there are these beautiful houses. They're all these different bright colors. So in the winter, when it's snowing, you just see this blue house and this red house, and there's even an orange house. Yeah, it's not ours, though, but still, it's pretty cool. So you just see all these houses, and there are these stories. And we all live on roads like I live on. And we all have something to learn from the people around us, from the stories around us, from the homes around us. And we've been learning a lot as we have been on that road. So today I wanted to share with you some of the lessons that I've learned on that road. Well, I might be a pastor there. I think probably 95% of my time is spent learning, and the other 5% is spent teaching the gospel and shepherding people. But I can only survive being up there if I'm willing to be a learner. I've learned things like how to keep the fire going all day in my house. I'm still not really good at that, as hard as Eric has tried to teach me, and people have provided us with firewood. Apparently, you're supposed to keep a lot of fuel on the fire, but I want to save all the firewood, so I only put a little bit on, and then I wonder why my fire dwindles down, but I'm getting there. I've learned where to go. There's we have kind of a boundary here. So we're on this peninsula. On the left side is the river. On the right side is the ocean. Down the road that coming in is actually the Iditarod Trail. And so we learn where to go and where is safe to go and smart to go and where I can go running and not meet any friends with four legs that want to eat me. That's important. I've learned those intricacies of communication, like I was telling you with Peyton and our communication. We learn about travel. Travel in Bush, Alaska is different. You can just let go of your itinerary and be ready to go when it's time to go. So we travel, the plane coming in, Shaktulik is about a 6-passenger plane, and it shows up kind of when it shows up. And so you learn to be patient with travel, but it'll get you there. The plane's gonna show up, and they'll safely get you there. And we learn about culture. Our church is a little different. We're also a covenant church there, and but how our worship service goes is the organized a little different, and that our church leaders, our leadership team, like we have, they actually run the service. So each week, a different person on that team is running the service, and I preach. That's all I do as part of the service. And but that whoever's leading will come up and open in prayer, and then we'll sing some hymns together. And our music is our voices. I love what Chris was saying earlier. Our music is our voices, and then people are invited up to share their stories, to share their testimony, and sometimes their testimony is in a song. Sometimes their testimony is a prayer. They come up and pray or ask for prayer. Sometimes it's a scripture. They have a scripture that's been on their heart or a scripture that they've memorized. Or sometimes it's a story. But whatever it is, it's their testimony. And it's beautiful. And then I preached at the end of all that. And sometimes I just think, well, you guys have done a really good job, actually, preaching today, and maybe I don't need to preach today, but I'm blessed to do that. But the stories are so important, and the testimony is so important. And so I want to share with you today just that a bit of that story in a couple of different ways. And so the scripture that we're looking at today is Isaiah 26:3. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Because going to Shaktulik and hearing that call has been so much for me about trust, trusting God in so many different ways, and he's taught me and reminded me that he is always there and that he always delivers on his promises. I've learned about showing up, trusting God and showing up, because the culture in Shaktulik involves a lot of visiting. In fact, my day isn't like, I don't have an office that I go to. My office is that Shaktulik Road and the houses that are there. I've learned to show up, which is kind of a little scary when you're an introvert. If you're an introvert, you understand that knocking on someone's door when you haven't had an invitation or an appointment set up is a little awkward. But it's also very normal, and that is just what we do. And so that has stopped being awkward for the most part for me, which is really wonderful. We show up, we visit one another's houses, people stop by and visit our house all the time. This picture here was on Mother's Day, and on Mother's Day we made all these cakes, so there isn't like a glazed bakery there in Shaktulik to go get donuts and stuff, you know? So we just baked a whole bunch of cakes, and then we had some left at the end, and so Peyton and Marley and I, we cut them all up, we packed them all up because they were not coming back to my house, and we put them all on plates, and we're like, let's just take them out, and let's go show up. And so we got out onto the road, and I said, you know, girls, sometimes I just come out here and I pray. I say, Lord, which way am I going today? And so we just started walking, and he just showed us where to go and which houses to take them to. And so we visited several houses, and this house is my friend Tanya's house. She's the one on the far right. And on the far left is her mom, Clara Mae, and in the middle is Clara Mae's sister, Carol. And we didn't just get to drop cake off at the door. They're like, come in and sit down and have, they were already having dessert, so we just brought more to the party, you know? And so we got to sit down and listen to this beautiful stories that they were sharing with us about their lives and about their history, and just layers and layers that you get to learn when you sit down and you show up at somebody's house. And Clara Mae, she tells me a lot how tough I'm gonna get from living up there. And then showing up, I've also learned, involves letting other people show up. And so this is inside of our house. This is kind of a typical day at the parsonage. Lots of kids show up at our house. We get lots of knocks at the door saying, can I visit? And I'm kind of a private person, and I like my space, but I've learned how to trust God and say, okay, yes, you can come in, and trusting and letting them come in. And we have some games, and they play cards. And it is amazing, though. It seems like when I bake cookies, there's like extra knocks at the door. It's like the air goes out, the cookie air goes out. But trusting him and letting them in and letting them show up, because they all have stories too, and they want to visit, and they have a purpose in their visiting that's important. And the next place I've learned to show up is when I'm afraid, when I'm really afraid to go someplace. And this picture here was, we had a elder passed away in one of the local villages, and so up there in the villages, the caskets are made in the villages. And so this is the wood shop at our school. And I kept hearing, we have VHF radios in all the houses. So somebody came over the VHF radio and said, somebody's at the wood shop, kind of implying maybe he needs some help. And I don't really understand what that meant. And then I got on good old Facebook to get some more information, and I learned, okay, he was building a casket, and I thought, I should go. I know I should go, but I don't really want to go, and I'm nervous to go, and maybe it's going to be really sad, and I don't know what to say or what to do, but I should probably go. I'm the pastor, you know, I should go, and I pray. So you know what I did? I called the youth pastor. We have an awesome youth pastor. His name's Levi. And I said, hey, Levi, will you come with me? I'd like to go over and maybe pray over there where they're building the casket. Well, Levi couldn't go, but his wife, Jen, who's a good friend of mine, she was around. So Jen and I, we go over there, and she hasn't been a part of building a casket before. And so we kind of knock on the door at the school or at the shop, and we go inside, and there's all these people there. And they're building this casket, and it's lots of generations of people. There's kids there. There's elders there teaching the kids. They even let us cut some stuff with power tools, which was really scary too. And I think probably more scary for them. But I just stayed. I just stayed and just took it in, because it was so beautiful to be a part of this. To be up close, to have it be so tangible, where death is sometimes something we're so afraid of, yet we have nothing to fear. And the parts of these where we can be up close and be together and build something together is so beautiful. And we need to trust God to go into those places where we're afraid. Some other ways I have learned to trust God is learning to trust God when it comes to sharing. Sharing is a really important part of the culture in the villages there. Sharing their food is just an amazing thing. So people subsist. So they hunt and they fish and they collect berries, and they do that. And it's really a huge part of their diet, and it's an important part of their culture. They don't just go out hunting. They go out hunting together. They go out fishing together. They gather together. And when they bring back what they've gathered, they bring back what they've harvested from the earth, they share it. They share it usually first with elders or people that don't have the capacity to go out and hunt for themselves. And you'll just hear all over the village all these people that have been blessed because someone went out and got some elk or got some fish. And so we've been blessed to be a part of that. We've been blessed because people will give us berries, and there's blackberries and blueberries and cranberries, and they give us fish, and it's just so incredible. And so I've tried to make that a part of our life and the culture of our family too. Well, right now we're not yet fishing or hunting, but I do get a box of vegetables from Full Circle Farm every week, and that comes from Washington, but I always take a piece of that. I take part of those vegetables or some fruit that maybe somebody might not have in the village, and I say, okay, God, who do I take this to today? Not of duty or anything, but just out of love and what the people have taught me and how richly I've been blessed. I'm also blessed to give that away and not worry. The Lord always provides enough. And then the next picture, you might need to close your eyes if you're a little squeamish about meat. Also to trust God with what you are given. So one day I'm walking home to the house, and there's a big plastic white garbage bag on my front porch. And I look inside, and it's a leg of a caribou. And I'm like, wow. Eric's not here. I've got to do something with this. Lord, help me. And if you don't know me, I've been vegetarian for a long time. So I just started eating meat again because Alaska does that to people. It's a good place to eat meat. It's not the easiest place to be vegetarian. So we've been blessed, but I need to trust God. What do I do with this? I mean, I don't want to waste any of it. And all I can think is, okay, all you need to do is get the meat off the bone, right? I mean, that makes sense. So that's me getting the meat off the bone. And I did a pretty good job, I think. I got most of it off of there. So, but we were blessed, but I needed to trust God there, you know, like, this is good what we've been given, and I can figure this out. I can figure out how to do this. And then the other place that I've really learned to trust God is in divine appointments. Is trusting God that He has appointments for me throughout the week. I don't really have too much of a schedule. In Shaktulik, but God has a schedule for me. And it involves me going out and about. It involves me going to basketball practice with my girls because inevitably there's somebody else at basketball practice that is there for me to pray with and to talk to and to listen to. It comes up a lot when I go running, which is, it's like I kind of struggled whether do I keep running up here and I started running when it got a little warmer, and I'd run down the road, and on the road there'd always be someone for me to stop and to pray with. But I learned those appointments come when we slow down and we're willing to stop, and we're willing to say hello, and we're willing to say, what do you need today? But God has those out there, and they're placed, and they're not on our Google Calendar, guys. But they're there, and they're the most important appointments we have in our day. but it involves slowing down. And I know that's hard because I know I have a different amount of time than we have here when I'm up there. But we all can do that. We all can stop and pause and smile and just talk to people and trust God with those appointments. This picture, can you go back to the bear and the dog? So we trust God with the things in our lives that he uses in those appointments. We have this little dog named Amelia. You can kind of see her. She's Marley's dog. And I had just been thinking before we started traveling down here of what an awesome little ministry dog she is. Because people come in our house, and she's just like this little lap size, and she jumps. She's just happy to see everybody. So she doesn't have an enemy in the world. And she just jumps in people's laps, and I'll just notice people talking to me, and pretty soon they're petting Amelia, and she's just snuggled down on their lap. But the other thing about Amelia is, I'm sorry, Marley, but she's a little awkward looking in that she's like a Chihuahua mix of Chihuahua and Italian Greyhound, and so people are like, what kind of dog is that? But that's good, because that starts conversation. And so when we were in Anchorage, we went to this place to get some breakfast in this mall, and it was a really quiet mall. It was kind of an older mall. And so we're walking out with Amelia, and this man stops us, and he says, well, what kind of dog is that? And I explain, Marley explains what kind of dog. And then he says, are you guys local? And I'm like, well, kind of. I don't really know. And I explained, well, I'm a pastor in Shaktulik, and then we're going to Wenatchee. And he was pretty excited that I was a pastor in Shaktulik. And he started to tell us a little bit about his life. And he said, I always say this verse every day. He says, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. And I said, wow. I said, do you want me to pray with you? Can I pray with you? And he said, yeah, come to my shop. And I'm like, I don't know. In my head, I wasn't saying this out loud, but I was thinking, I don't really know if I should take my girls with this man to his shop. But it was okay, you know, and we just trusted the Lord in that. I knew this was important. So we follow him back, and there's this big sign over this door that he's going into. It says, Inupiaq Carver. And he opens this door, and there's all these incredibly beautiful ivory carvings. And we saw his carvings, and I said, Amos, how can I pray with you today? And he said, well, you know, let the Lord tell you. And I'm like, okay, thanks for that reminder. And so I pray with Amos, and he prays for us. And then he was really excited. He wanted to show me his Bible and his Hebrew dictionary and his Greek dictionary and how he loves to translate in the different languages. It was just such a wonderful meeting. And he said, can we exchange phone numbers? I'm like, yeah, of course, yeah. So we exchanged phone numbers. I texted him the other day. I said, Amos, I'm praying for you today. It was so wonderful to meet him. And that scripture he gave me, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. He reminded me that I memorized that scripture years ago in a Bible study. That scripture meant so much to me. Because sometimes I have a mind that doesn't always want to have peace that I would call perfect in any means. But that reminded me that when I trust the Lord, when I trust him, he gives me this peace that is just beyond understanding. And when I see this verse, it reminds me of right before that, in the weeks before in that Bible study, we had been studying some of the covenants that God had created. Covenants that promises that he made, that he's delivered on, that we can trust him and we have a reason to trust him and he loves us so much. See, we can have a perfect peace with God. In fact, in Hebrew, perfect peace is shalom, shalom. It is a repetition of peace. That's God's peace. It's emphasized because that's the kind of peace that we have with him. It's not a worldly peace. It's not a peace that we can picture, that our flesh can understand, other than it's this peace that comes from a grounded place. This peace that comes with assurance. That when we walk on our roads in life, that we can trust him and be assured that behind the door that we knock on and the conversation that we have and the provisions he's given us that we share, we can trust that he will give us peace in all of those places with all of those things. He gives peace to those whose minds are steadfast. It isn't just a one-time peace. It isn't a, woo, glorious peace now, and then it's supposed to be over. No, it's a peace. He wants us to be steadfast in him and with him and constant. Matthew 22:37 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Perfect peace involves being steadfast with the Lord. And then this ends, because they trust in you. That steadfast and that trust go together with that peace. It all exists together. Psalm 37:5 says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him. Commit to him and trust in him. Why all this trusting? Maybe you're sitting here today like, why have you said trust 4,000 times? Why should I trust? Maybe your heart's been broken. Maybe the world has handed you something that you just don't even understand. Trust. We're not meant to trust the world. We're meant to trust God. He does what he says. He delivers on his promises. In fact, Isaiah 26:4 says, again, it repeats this trust. It says, trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself is the rock eternal. This is a solid, grounded trust that we are given. I love this whole section of Isaiah because it's part of a song. It's a song of praise. And while there was great judgment going on, God was also caring and loving his people. And he was saying, trust me in this. Trust me with all that is going on around you because I am here. They just needed to trust and be steadfast. The Israelites had a choice to trust in him, and so do we. Every day, it's a choice. He loves us so much that he lets us choose. Every day, we have a choice to trust him. God promised the Messiah, and he delivered on that promise. And in Jesus, we have so much hope. We have another promise to look forward to. And we base that trust on all these promises that he's delivered a yes on in Jesus. And we look forward to heaven. We look forward with no fear of what is to come because of this promise that we have, an assurance we have in heaven. I love 2 Corinthians 1:20. It says, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. As so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Ultimately, every promise made and to come is answered as a yes in Jesus. Isn't that incredible? And we can live our lives glorifying God. We can live our lives as an amen to God. Because when we show up in uncomfortable places, because we've all got uncomfortable places, and we visit with somebody, we show up and we think, oh, they probably are busy. They probably don't want visitors right now. They do. They do. Just show up. Let all that go. Because when we show up, we're saying amen. When we let someone in, when we let a child in, and we love them, all those people volunteering over in children's ministry, they're a big amen. You're all a big amen. Last weekend, Serve Sunday was a big amen to Jesus as we live it out. When we share our time with our kids, with other kids, when we share our food with our neighbors. I mean, I was thinking, well, how do we do that? I mean, maybe some of you hunt and you can like take the, you know, bag up the meat, put it on your neighbor's doorstep. But maybe you just, I mean, maybe you go to Costco and you come home and you get, I feel like a billion things when you go to Costco and you come home and you're like, okay, I'm going to take this and I'm going to pray. Who do I take this to today? Because I know there's someone that you can bless with that. When we trust God with our space, we say amen. When we trust God by not being in so much of a hurry and not having every bit of our day scheduled, we say amen. When we open places up and we open up the margins in our day to slow down and to talk to people, we say amen. When we allow Him to set the appointments in our lives, we say amen by listening to the Holy Spirit and letting Him guide us as to where we should go and what we should do and who we should talk to. Our testimony is not what only we verbally speak, but it is the one we live out in our lives as an amen to Jesus. In Shaktulik, we sing there a lot. We sing hymns, and they're so beautiful, and they're people's stories. And many of you have been to Shaktulik and seen this. I'm just going to ask you, if you've been on any of the teams to Shaktulik over the last 3 years, would you stand up? Go ahead, stand up. Stand up. Okay, now that you're up, I want you to go ahead and walk up front. Come on up. Come on up. Yeah, that's how you look. Yep, there you go. And if you didn't stand up and walk up front. Here they come. Awesome. One way that we share testimony in Shaktulik is by singing hymns. And it's so beautiful because people will get up and they'll share, you know, like, I'm singing this hymn and it means something to me because my parent or my grandparent, I heard them humming this hymn over and over as I was growing up. And that's where it became special to them. They've heard it for years and years and years. I think our lives are kind of like these songs. How we live our life is a song that we sing out to the world. How do we want others to hear our song? How do we want others to share testimony one day? Maybe it's because they were on a team that went to Alaska. Maybe these kids are going to share someday with their kids about their time. The tune of trust and sharing and giving and listening, that is our amen to Jesus. I want my kids to testify to that one day. I want all these kids and all the kids that we touch and reach when we go out into our week I want them to hear that song of Jesus being sung through our lives. So I've surprised this team, and we're going to sing a song this morning, but you're all going to sing with us, so I'd like you to go ahead and stand up. We're going to sing How Great Thou Art. And if a couple of weeks ago on Memorial Day, we had a Memorial Day service, and it was a patriotic service in remembering those who have served in our military, but it was also about just a lot of remembering people who have gone on before us. And this song is a special song for our family. Every time my dad's here, it seems like we sing How Great Thou Art whenever my dad is here, and he grabs my arm, he says, Mary, this is your grandma's favorite song. And I said, I know, I remember that. And so I like us to share, sing it out. Let the Lord hear your voice. Let the Lord hear your amen this morning. Oh, Lord, my.